Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/Wondery and use code Wondery for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/Wondery, code Wondery.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to the Nerds Podcast number 484. Come see At Midnight Live on April 4th in Miami, South Beach, for the South Beach Comedy Festival. Go to southbeachcomedyfestival.com to get tickets. Also, I'll be performing at Caroline's in New York, May 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. So I believe tickets are available for that, too. And just watch At Midnight on the television, at the very least, because it's the show is super fun. The episode we did with the community cast the other night was beyond belief. Those guys were so incredibly funny. It was Jim Rash and Danny Pudi and Gillian Jacobs. And then Neil deGrasse Tyson did a walk-on. So it is on Hulu if you missed it. So thank you if you are watching it. I really do appreciate it. It is my dream job. So thank you for allowing me to keep doing that. I'd like to thank Carbonite for sponsoring this episode of the Nerdist Podcast. It's easy to forget to back up your computer files because it's a pain. It's a pain to have to. In the old days, you had to insert a disk. You had to put a zip drive. Remember the zip disks? Well, essentially now you don't have to do anything anymore. It can be automatic with Carbonite Online Backup. You just go to carbonite.com. There's no credit card required. It is a free trial. You can back up your files in the background, and you can access your files wherever you go with a free Carbonite app. So you're going to go to carbonite.com. You're going to use the offer code Nerdist. You're going to get 2 free bonus months if you decide to buy. That is carbonite.com. Use the offer code Nerdist. This episode of the podcast is Donald Faison. Zach Braff had been on like a year ago, maybe, and Zach and Donald are best pals, and so Zach said, you gotta have Donald on, he's really great, and so just the planning of it took a little while, but then we finally got Donald on, and he is hilarious and super nice. He's on a show on TV Land called The X's. The season finale is tonight, Wednesday, the 26th of February. It airs at 10 p.m., as I said, it's on TV Land. But such a good guy. We've had a good run of people on this podcast who are just not dicks. Just good, nice people. And I am thankful every day that we don't have to muddle our way through chats and interviews with people who, you know, who are difficult and who actually just come in and bring good information and are fun and want to play around. And Donald was definitely one of those guys. So very excited. If you're a Scrubs fan, you will not be disappointed. It's Nerdist Podcast number 484 with Donald Faison.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
What movie was that where they had the shit on their neck and the dude's head blew up?
Scanners.
No, no, well, no. Wait, hang on. It was Running Man.
It was also Battle Royale.
Yes, it was. It was Running Man.
Battle Royale also had stuff around the neck that would blow up.
But in the, if they cross the perimeter in Running Man, that was where they were like, perimeter activated, and then boom. Yeah. Yep.
But it also happened in Scanners.
Well,
psychic powers?
It was psychic powers. Michael Ironside, they were basically psychics, and they would blow each other's heads
That's
up with a
right.
Run. So it's that shot, that famous shot from Scanners where Michael Ironside's on the thing, and then the two psychics, and then his fucking head just folds open like a petunia.
It's good.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah. But
that's but not no, but no,
but not the
no
Running
neck
Man,
things.
The Butcher of Bakersfield. That's a fun. They didn't remake Running Man, did they?
No, they were going to, though, I heard.
Yeah.
Just make a new movie. Yeah, just don't make Running Man again.
You don't have to make Running Man again.
We saw what happened with Total Recall, didn't we?
Total Recall because I didn't want to. I wanted Total Recall to be pristine in my mind.
I watched it on a plane.
There was no Watto. Well, I wasn't.
Yeah, yeah. No one said to open your mind, Quaid. Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
No.
Was he Quaid in the thing? Was same,
he was
same
Quaid.
Was he?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was... I'm not Quaid.
2 weeks. Two weeks.
You blew my cover.
See you at the party.
They'll kill you all.
Good job, Tomas.
It was such
this is the rest of this podcast is just going to be us.
I got 12 kids.
You got me.
I wish I had three hands.
So we're just going to...
You killed your own?
We're going to quote things the entire day.
And of course, the best line from it when his face mask shatters and it's just...
He would have been dead on as soon as that.
Yeah, it's just instantly.
Well, now wait a minute. The ancient oxygen maker put a cloud of oxygen over them, and then his eyes went back into his head. If your eyes came that oxygen far fairy. Out of your head, that would be your eyes forever.
But there was that guy that was on like Donahue or some shit that was able to bulge his eyes out, and he was like a sideshow kind of guy. And he was able to like poke his eyes out like way far past them.
Yeah, but that was like a carnival trick. This was actual
something.
This was the atmosphere of Mars.
Yeah,
I'll tell you what I do miss though about that era of films is practical effects.
Yes,
because now that would all be CG, and you'd be like, okay. They had to get more creative.
Well, I haven't seen it, but Jurassic Park 3D is actually really cool because of the practical effects in it.
Oh yeah, you're right, because there's not too many like really good 3D movies that have actual practical stuff. It's all digital. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Now I want to see it.
What have you seen lately that you like?
Lately that I like? I like The Hobbit. A lot of people are...
I loved it.
I freaking really liked that a lot. And I liked the Lego Movie.
People are going crazy for the Lego Movie.
Now I moderated the panel for that at Comic-Con last year, and there wasn't really enough to see, and I was like, okay, the cast is great, but
the writers are good. I like the
the writers are great,
Bill and Chris.
Yeah,
but I just couldn't get a read on it, and then apparently it's amazing.
It's so good.
People going crazy. Like you always know the movie's actually really good when there's like those guys you follow on Twitter that just hate every movie. You go, holy shit, the Lego Movie's good. It's like, it's got to be the best movie in the world.
I thought the bloopers were fun. Did you see the blooper reel?
No, I did not.
They put out a blooper reel.
Blooper reels, when it comes... And I remember seeing it in Toy Story during the credits of Toy Story.
And they also did it in Bug's Life.
Bug's Life. I don't... It hurts my brain because that means there's like... They have to act like they're messing up.
Yeah.
And it just... It's like seeing like, you know, The Hills or something like that. Like a fake reality thing happen.
I feel like all blooper reels are actors acting like they messed up.
It's like, I like that you're fine with them pretending that they're Batman and...
Yeah.
But you're not fine that they're pretending that they're Batman pretending to mess up.
Because it's like so they're weird. Creating a moment that people like because it's a thing that wasn't supposed to happen. They're making the thing that wasn't supposed to happen.
But that's
happen.
The meta-comedy on top of it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. You're right.
Okay, good. Okay. Well, that was easy.
Yeah.
I thought that was going to be the whole podcast.
Not going to get into a fight.
Shut it down. 90 minutes.
Shut it down.
How are you okay with the bloopers and Cannonball Run?
But you're not okay with the bloopers and Michael? Those are great bloopers.
Those are the kinds of arguments when you were a kid you would get into, and it would be... I guess that's basically what the internet is arguments that you would get into as a kid and be so fucking serious and mad and passionate about the most non-essential anything.
But that's just LA.
Where you didn't want to talk to your friends anymore ever again.
Yeah.
I'm never coming over.
He's
never,
the worst. Yeah. He thinks that the bloopers in the Lego Movie were not good. He's a fucking idiot.
I remember a friend of mine was like, oh, you guys see, I can't remember what movie it was like. You guys see this movie? He's like, nah, I don't like British accents. I was like, you're not allowed to not like, that's racist. I think that's racist. And he's like, no, it just bugs me. It sounds fake. I was like, but it's not.
It's older than the one that you have. Yeah.
Actually, the one you have comes from.
Your accent got fucked by a Dutchman and then a couple Germans came on it. And then here we are. And if you're in the South, then some Irishman took a shit on it, and then that was that accent.
That's true. Yeah,
it was just that mishmash. We have a. I think we have a. I bet we have a very harsh sounding accent to non English speakers. We have. We're sort of nasally, and we talk like this, and we're loud.
I think we're loud. I think more than anything, we're loud. Yeah. The one thing that you can't ever, you ever, I find myself always saying this to a British person. I'm sorry, what'd you say?
Yeah.
Well, I said you were a cunt.
What?
I was just saying you were, a cunt.
I'll say this though. Chinese people speak pretty loud. Walking through Chinatown, it is kind of a noisy place.
But I wonder if that's because, you know, if you come from a really crowded city, you're constantly having to talk over it, like New York, too.
Yeah.
I would say the same for New York people, because you're constantly having, there's like a base level that you have to communicate above to be heard.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, sure. I'm from New York. I don't think I'm that loud. You know what I mean?
That's true. But children in New York are the loudest. They're just like, and they get out of school and they're just walking down the street screaming at each other the entire time. I hate it. It's so
loud.
Do
you like kids?
I hate kids.
What?
I hate New York. I hate people.
Wow. What about British accents?
Wow. Yeah. Love them. So quiet. So unassuming.
They're great. So what's going on? You know, I don't think we've ever... I met you briefly when you did Attack of the Show.
Yes.
I think.
And then you came over to Zach's house that night.
Then I came over to Zach's house that night. We watched the election results.
The election, that's what it was.
That's right.
That's kind of like the Oscars.
Yeah, it's kind of like the Oscars of politics.
Two people acting.
Ugly Oscars.
Yeah, that was really fun. And then you got married.
I am married. I am officially married we've been married for a year now.
How was the wedding?
It was so awesome.
You did it at Zach's house, right?
We did do it at Zach's house. That's right. Yeah. He hooked me up, because if I wouldn't have done it there, it would have been so expensive.
He still charged you, right?
I had to pay for the grass, I'm not going to lie.
Oh, really? Did the grass get that fucked up?
Oh, we trampled that thing.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. His lawn was wrecked. But it was good. It was a great wedding. I'm married for a year now. We have a six-month-old baby.
Oh, wasted.
Oh, well, Jonah wouldn't like kids. He doesn't like kids. He already said he didn't like kids. Remember a second ago you were like, do you like kids? He was testing you because he has a child.
Yeah,
so.
Do you want me to leave? Is that what you
were? No, we're all good. You can totally stay, dude. You're totally cool.
How's your six-month-old?
He's great. He's awesome. He's 6 months, so he's doing shit that six-month-old.
Is he transitioning into basically being, because a lot of friends of mine who've had kids are like, well, for the first handful of months, they're basically just like a paperweight. They don't really do anything. Then they start to develop a personality.
Yeah, he's losing that help. He's moving out of the helpless stage, which is the best stage, because all you have to do is pick the kid up and rock the kid and put the kid down and he goes to sleep. Now it gets to the point where he's getting frustrated, you know, and it's great because he's smart. You know, he's a smart kid, so... You know, he knows what he wants to do. He just doesn't have the coordination to do it yet. So trying to pick up his bottle or trying to pick up a toy frustrates the shit out of my kid.
Yeah, it seems like if, like, you're really drunk or your hands are asleep and you try to pick up stuff, that's what it's like to be a baby. Like, you can't really feel what's going on and you're trying your best.
And you're constantly,
Yeah.
How often do your hands go to sleep?
I had a weird thing that I got into a car accident a long time ago and...
Is this, like, a real story?
This is a real story. I got into a car accident, and then, like, when the car, right after the car accident, like, I realized I was fine, and then, like, my whole upper body, like, fell asleep. Like, it was tingly, and then, like, it clenched up like this.
Oh, I would fucking...
And, like, I started freaking out, because I was like, oh, I broke my back. That's what happens when you break your back.
Oh, no.
And then, for some reason, for, like, weeks after that, like, I would, like, if I was, like, sleeping on my side, I would, like, wake up and, like, just... Circulation, I guess, got cut off.
I would way not be cool with
that. Yeah, and it was just like my hands and my arms would be asleep.
What did the doctor say was the problem?
He just said, it's like your body's in shock. That's all he said. And I was like, is it going to go away? He said, sure. That's what he said. Sure.
Yeah. Why not? Why not? Yeah. Let's say yes. Yeah.
I'm glad I paid out of pocket for this.
Hey. Yeah. They practice medicine. Yeah. They practice.
Practice harder. Yeah. Practice harder. Is this serious?
Yeah.
Look, a lot of things can happen. Yeah. A lot of things can happen. We could open you up. You know, we could look at that and
just poke around.
Yeah. I still won't be able to tell you. But, you know, it's fine. It'll be fine. Yeah, I would not be okay with that. I even, if I do fall asleep on my hand and I wake up, there's that moment of like, not happy right now.
Never going to come back, is it?
Way not happy. Oh, there it is. All right. Slowly life trickling back into the extremities.
That's just the stranger. Sit on it, make it numb, and go to town.
Yeah. I can't make a fest. Yeah, but you know, that goes from. I'm sorry.
Then you got to do the stranger's friend where you take your other hand to help form.
But that transcends into a whole other type of self pleasure that goes from masturbation to fucking your hand, which is a different thing to do.
so sorry.
She's all good with
it. Okay, good. That is a totally different. I mean, if you just think about the mindset behind either of them, it's one of them is just a little bit creepier, where you're just like on your hand.
Yeah, that's a lot of foresight. It's like you know what? I'm gonna feel like jerking off in about a half an hour. I better not make it on there.
My God,
I'm like a scratching post.
Yeah.
Meow, meow. And then you say meow, meow while you're doing it. Meow, meow.
Oh, boy.
What? That was the line, Jonah. That was the line.
No. Like, the whole thing was fun. Ah, Jesus. We're having a good time.
I hope Scrubs was as fun to make as it seemed like it would be
to make.
Oh, it
was a great time. That was a blast. I love your phone case.
Oh, thank you very much.
It's pretty awesome.
A little
you've actually worn it down.
I have worn it down. I've had it for about a year and a half.
Yeah, what have you been doing with it?
The Stranger.
The Stranger. Yeah. I've been playing Strange Wookie.
I've never seen a Wookie like you before.
I sit on Chewbacca's hand. Yeah, I don't know. It's shows like that where it just feels like, oh, the cast is actually having fun. That's how that show... that's how a show like that gets made.
Yeah, I mean, I gained a best friend from doing that show, so I had a blast making it. I wish all jobs could be that fun. You know, I'm on a great job now, but I wish all jobs could be the type of job where you walk in and you really feel like you're just, you know, playing with friends and not acting, not having to work that hard.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. That sounds nice.
Like, we got to do so many things. Like, I got to be Indiana Jones. I got to be Han Solo. I got to do so many things because of that show. And so, it was a blast. It was a lot
of fun. How long did that go?
9 years.
9 years.
But it
crazy.
Jumped networks, didn't it?
Yeah, we went from NBC to ABC.
That's such an interesting...
Well, shows have done it and have succeeded.
Taxi.
The Taxi jump?
Yeah, Taxi went from one network to the
I know next. Different Strokes did.
Yes, Different Strokes did as well.
It just didn't make it. It wasn't that good once, you know, it got to... I think it went to CBS or something like
yeah.
that.
I went to a taping of Different Strokes when I was a kid.
No way.
Did you meet Sam?
I didn't. It was pre-Sam.
It was pre-Sam.
The episode that I went to was a seminal moment in Different Strokes history because it was the episode where they were introducing the Facts of Life characters because they were about to spin off Facts of Life. So there is an episode of Different Strokes where a bunch of those girls show up.
Yeah.
And then they and by the way,
Molly Ringwald was one of those girls.
Ringwald was one of them. Yeah, she was in that first year.
Oh, wow.
And it was a weird thing to do because I don't think it wasn't like those girls were a part of the storylines all the time. They just like showed them and they're like, and that's going to be its own thing.
Yeah.
And they shot over at Sunset Gower, like right across from the Gower Gulch.
Yeah.
And so I remember going over there afterwards. This guy was really, really young, but you know, loved Different Strokes.
Who didn't love Different Strokes?
I don't. Most of the cast,
right?
It was kind of a bummer.
You know, wow. Yeah, I think the person that gained the most out of Different Strokes was Sam. He got to show off all of his talent. Not only could he play the guitar, but he could break dance. He could do everything, dude.
I'll tell you.
He sang country music. He break dance.
That is the most. Like,
he could rap.
That should show you how fucked up and subversive. How fucked up? What? Like?
There are many. You're right. Like, I can't think of. Yeah,
it just goes on and on and on. That kid had so much talent. Yeah.
I'm gonna say he was the Alfonso Ribeiro of his.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh,
I mean,
Alfonso.
even though Sam was just like a pasty white kid with the same bowl haircut that I had when I was a kid, but the that chunk of television, that period of time, like, that shows you that television was just a piranha tank because basically when Arnold started to get too old, they were like, we need a younger, cuter kid.
Yeah.
Fuck this one that we built the show around. We need a younger, cuter kid making cuter faces.
Well, that was like every family sitcom is like, it's like, we're really running dry. A new kid.
New kid.
Yeah, the parents just decide to have a kid like fucking 15 years after the last one.
Gary Coleman's not small enough. You know he's not going to ever get any bigger. I know, but he could be smaller than that. We need a smaller, tinier guy.
I could break dance and play the guitar, Mr. D.
Get it
perfect.
Hired. So fucked up. Just these poor performing animals. They're just like, you start, you tap dance, you do this, you'd sing, you know. Yeah. Oh, so gross. And I watched every minute of it.
I loved it. I ate it up like cereal.
When was your first job? When did you start working?
I did a bunch of guest spots on shows in New York. I grew up in New York, so.
What were the shows that were shooting in New York?
Like Help 911 with Wesley Snipes and David Caruso, I think, was on that.
Oh, wow.
Like way back in the day.
And how old were you?
I think I was 14, 15.
Oh, wow. So
I did Sesame Street, you know, shows that, you know, New York didn't have a lot of shows back in the day. It does now. It has more now. But when I was a kid, it was like the trenches. If you were an actor in New York, you were fighting against your best friend to get a job.
Yeah.
Whereas here, it seems like there's, well, I mean, you know, you go out.
Room for everybody.
Room for everybody here.
Yeah, that's why ultimately, like right now, we're with the glut of New York transplants. We're like, yeah, I'm subletting a place for 3 months for pilot season. You know,
yeah,
I'm
out of here. That's what's going on right now, for sure.
Yeah, everyone's out.
Ugh.
Yeah.
But you're on a show, so you
I'm
don't
on
have
a show.
To, you're
I'm
on
so
Nexus.
Happy I don't have to go back
so you
into
you don't have
right
to
now.
Go into that.
Yeah.
That's a tough time for any actor.
You
got to take anything pretty much, you know? Yeah. If you get it, unless you're well established and you got a great show calling, usually it's like, look, what's the premise?
Doesn't matter.
It's a hospital in space. Yeah. I want it.
Yeah. I've never wanted. This is perfect. This is the one show I've always wanted. They don't want you. What's next?
I just went into a room and saw 30 versions of myself to varying degrees. There's a more attractive version of me. There's a slightly chunkier version of me. There's a taller version of me.
Right. No, for me, it's like, and there's always I got like one guy that I used to see, and like, and then he just started like booking left to right. So now I'm just like, that guy. I'm sure he's a great guy. He's in a lot of great stuff, but he's just like tall. Moppy hair, glasses, kind of just nondescript white guy. And I'm just like, that Nelson Franco. What?
You took my thing.
When you walk into the room and you see him, you're like,
I go, well, that's it.
Motherfucker.
Yeah.
You gotta break his glasses.
I gotta do something.
Just run up with some clippers and just like shave part of his stubble off.
Yeah,
like, so
totally.
Now it's me.
Do you have guys that you? Because I used to see the same. I used to see the same pool of guys at like every audition. It was, you know, and I mean, I went through a period where I was chunkier. So like my group like would switch a little bit, you know, switched every couple years.
It's pretty much just anybody brown. I walk
any
in
kind of brown?
It doesn't matter.
Not even like African American, just
not
anyone
even,
who's
just
brown.
Brown. Yeah. That's it. You walk in a room and you're like, wow, Daniel Pudi, what are you doing?
Well, it's a brown. I'm kind of brown. They would never be able to put that on the breakdown, too.
Yeah, yeah.
We're looking for a tall, smart, funny, brown person.
You know what they, when they...
Well, those are on Break Brown Services.
Yeah.
There you go. That's what you're looking for.
What they say when that's when they want, like, anyone that's, like, not white, it's like, any ethnicity is what you say.
I always like when I would, you'd read the breakdown, and it would clearly say like, oh, we're looking for like an African American guy in his, you know, early 30s. And I go, well, this clearly says, oh, well, they're seeing all types.
And
I would go in and I'd be like the white guy. And
the only
why am I here? Yeah. And then a black guy would get it. Like I feel like most casting people, they just don't know. Ultimately, they don't know what they want.
I've had it happen where I went in for a movie. I tested for the movie. And then they told me, you know what? We're going to go white. And I was like, wow.
We're afraid if we go with you, we could never go back.
Yeah, well, that's usually how it goes, right? Yeah. No.
You could totally make them feel bad and go, hasn't that happened enough?
I wish.
How much are you going to take away from my people? How much?
I wish I had. Hindsight's 20/20.
Well, the next time.
Next time.
What types of, do you audition for dramas too? Or do you like comedy stuff for the most part?
I get a lot of comedy. If I go out for a comedy, you know, 2 out of 10 times I'll get it. Drama, it's a little different. You know, if I go on 10 auditions, I'm not going to get one of them. I'm not going to get, but you know, that 11th audition maybe. Hmm. With drama, it's different.
That's too bad because I feel like, you know, a good hour drama, if they put like a good, sometimes someone who skews a little more comedic into a dramatic role, I feel like you start to get some really interesting layers to the character when you do that, as opposed to just casting like, I'm a dramatic actor.
Right.
This is what I do.
Yeah, I think so. Beverly Hills Cop is a perfect example of a movie that was supposed to be a drama and then turned out to be a comedy because Eddie Murphy did it. I don't know. There's also the comedians that do dramas, and it's like they shouldn't have hired a comedian. They should have just put, you know.
Yeah, it's rare that it works out well.
Yeah.
Like sometimes it's passable, but sometimes it's just like,
right. Yeah. Like I saw this movie and it was really serious and everything, and everybody was serious, and then Eddie Griffin shows up in the movie. And it was like, I don't know if this works for me anymore.
I can't imagine him being serious.
Yeah, it just turned into. Not
and was he movie. He wasn't playing comic relief?
No, he was the comic relief in the movie. But it was like a serious movie that took place in like Japan, and all these people are.
Oh wow!
Yeah, it was like My Bodyguard in Japan. Something like that.
Well, now I heard that they've actually gone back in and with effects placed Kevin Hart into all of those movies.
Yeah.
As they should. As they should. That kid is on fire.
He's amazing.
Fire.
And he's not stopping stand-up. He's still like...
He's fucking amazing.
He's like, I'm working on the next movie right now. Like his next stand-up movie. It's insane.
I have so much respect for that guy. Like, dude. I thought I was busy, but I, you know...
No, he's way busy.
Every other billboard is a movie, and then Kevin Hart's on different movies.
Yeah. He's good.
Yeah, he's great.
That last record he put out was so fucking funny.
You said record?
Well, I mean like his last album.
Okay. Album?
Yeah, his stand-up album.
Oh, you mean the movie?
The movie, sorry.
Gotcha. Yeah.
I listened to the original soundtrack of Let Me Explain.
Okay, nice.
Which is just the audio. It's real weird. No songs.
That's right.
But like it's like he's so spot on and so good. And I got to work with him once. I was writing on the... MTV Music Video Awards, and we wrote a sketch, and we're like, we want Kevin Hart to do this guy. And he came in and was just delightful and just like riffing with everybody and like getting
well,
better.
I bowled against him in that Chris Paul bowling tournament last year.
Oh, yeah.
He bowled, and he's a fucking amazing bowler. Like, he should have won, but we just got, our team got his team by like a one pin.
Yeah.
But he's a fucking amazing bowler, too. Kevin Hart.
That's who I meant.
Yeah. What were you going to say?
I was
Chris Hart. Kevin Hart. But what? I mean, like, literally, that everything I've seen that guy do is like, fuck, he knows how to do that too. He's going to, and he'll be a guy that when he gets to a certain, and I think he's gotten to that level of fame now where some director will put him in some type of movie where he actually like is a
crushes
serious
it.
Actor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
He wins crushes an Oscar. It. He's
yeah.
a guy that I think. We'll
yeah,
someday.
Everyone thought it was going to be Chris Rock, and it's not.
Well, that show was funny too. I don't know if you watch it. Not to promote somebody else's television show on this podcast, but the Real Husbands of Hollywood
it's funny.
Oh, is
that thing is it's so funny. It's so funny.
Oh fuck!
Have you ever watched it?
All right, well,
somebody needs to watch that.
But
show
but talking about Beverly Hills Cop earlier, I kind of missed the days of the blockbuster comedy because they aren't really like those types of like. $150 million blockbuster comedies anymore.
Blackbuster or blockbuster? I'm sorry.
Blockbuster.
Yeah, they are. This is the End. All Jonah Hill and
yeah,
make all of those
the
movies
end,
now.
The Hangover movies, Bridesmaids, like made like over 150.
I don't mean that they made. I mean like those. You know, like where they take like an action director. And they spend like $150-$200 million on like an action comedy.
Oh, Pain and Gain.
I didn't see Pain and Gain.
That movie did well?
It did really well. They're making a sequel.
Really? To Pain and Gain?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Didn't know that.
Michael Bay comedy.
Didn't know.
But there's no comedic actors in it.
I think Mark Wahlberg is a very good comedic actor.
Yeah, he is. Did you see the one with him and Denzel?
Wait, which? Oh, Two Guns?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
He's great in it.
He's great in it. He's one of those guys. He's kind of like he's like Nick Cage in a way, where it's like Nick Cage could either be the worst actor in a movie or the best actor.
Hold on.
You just kind of
don't you dare.
Did we just cross the line?
Yeah,
just cross the line. The Nick Cage.
Nick
line?
Cage is the best.
But he's.
Did
like,
you see Season of the Witch?
I did see Season of the Witch. Yes,
Wicker Man.
I don't think I saw Wicker
Man. You
gotta
see Wicker Man.
But I did see Season of the Witch.
That was just I have some tax bills.
Yeah, I gotta pay my look. Listen, yeah. We all get into trouble with the
we
law.
Sure do. We all do. Hey, we spent too much money on a Superman comic. I don't know.
Hey, look,
Season of
everyone
Witch.
Else. Everybody owns a castle somewhere.
He owns a castle great, but and an island.
He's I love Nick Cage, but he is a guy that's like he's like I'm just going to make all the decisions as a performer. I'm just going to make every decision, and then it's up to the guy to kind of rein it in.
Well, you know you sort of have to get lucky, don't you? When you get to a certain level, I think there's almost an element of chance of, do I have the right people advising me?
Yeah.
Because I don't know. They don't know.
Right.
They're basically in these sort of isolated ivory towers of, they're not, you know.
All they see is $20 million for them to show up.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll do it. Yeah.
And so they don't, you know, they don't really know.
That's
and
true.
And also, it's such a crapshoot. I mean, like, a movie is sort of like a weird magic spell that has all of these elements that all have to fire at the same time for it to work.
Yeah. I'm going to use that analogy.
Hey guys, this is like a magic spell. Get out of my fucking office. Like, someone's not going to appreciate
this movie. Listen, this movie is a magic spell, and it has all the proper ingredients.
We need a dash of lighting.
Right.
Yes. We need a little eye of Newt, because there's always
eye of Newt. Always,
and a foot of celluloid, and we got this.
Dash of
Newt.
It's always Eye of Newt with you. If it were up to you, this potion would be nothing but Newt eyes.
But it is that sort of, you know, there's so many elements that have to come together and work for a movie. I always say it surprises me when something turns out well, when something's good, mm-hmm. because of because you as an actor can do an amazing job, but then maybe the editor is not great, or the director's picked the bad scenes, or that, you know. I mean, it's funny to me that when people accept acting awards, I don't ever hear anyone say, I would like to thank the editor.
Right.
Because, you know, beyond the director, that's the other person who is basically going to contextualize your performance the best way possible.
Has there ever been a movie where you walked in and you just knew as soon as, before you even got in there, that the movie was going to be good, that it lived up to the expectations? As soon as you walked into the theater, when the lights went down, before it even started, you're like, holy shit, this is going to be great.
I mean, probably the obvious ones, like, you know, Back to the Future, Ghostbusters.
You knew Ghostbusters was going to be great?
Right away. Like, the second they, just the whole vibe of it going into the library and like before the opening credits. And then the second, because we hadn't really seen effects like that in a movie yet, and so within the first 5 minutes of the movie, you know, and then them running out
I'll say Cabin in the Woods, because it's like, you know, you're going to see a horror movie.
Oh no, wait, I'm sorry. Yeah, no, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
In Cabin in the Woods, you're going to see the horror movie, and then you just start off with these two these two guys in, you know, like, just collared shirts and just making coffee, talking about bullshit. And then just like the intensity with the noise of the title like card coming onto the screen just like made me laugh so hard. So I knew the movie was going to be good. Mm. And then like the fact that that's the way they opened it up made me knew, like, it, you know, it set up the tone for the rest of the movie.
I knew Black Dynamite was going to be good within the first minute.
Yeah.
Did you see Black Dynamite?
I did not see Black
Dynamite. No, you didn't see Black Dynamite?
It's so good.
It was like our favorite movie. It was all we talked about forever.
That movie, you know, actually, I just watched Dallas Buyers Club.
I knew that in the first 5 seconds.
The first 5 seconds, just like something. There's something immediately in the vibe of the movie where you just instantly get sucked in.
Yeah, right away.
I couldn't even pinpoint exactly what it was, but I just felt like, oh, there is some ethereal mist of quality around this movie that I'm just totally sucked in on.
I knew, right when he's looking out the little slit, looking at the dude riding a bull as he's banging the girl, I was like, oh, this is gonna be dope.
Yeah.
This is gonna be great.
What about you? What was it like?
Well, the first half hour of Hostel is the best movie I've ever seen in my life, dude.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna be honest with you.
Oh, you mean the part with all the tits?
Yeah, I knew after 5 seconds of watching that movie, I was like, this is gonna be great.
Yeah.
And then not so much.
I think Saw had that too. Saw had that where you kind of instantly you're like, oh,
yeah.
Oh, what's this?
And then, of course, you know, they're the obvious ones. Star Wars, right away.
I think the first X-Men to me, where it's the young Eric Lencher in the concentration camp being separated from his mother, because a superhero movie hadn't really been presented in that way And so it was just, I kind of went in expecting this sort of one-dimensional, like, oh, yeah. they're going to be, right. oh, he's got these powers. You know, like more yeah. kind of like more what Fantastic Four was.
Right.
But then you go, fucking like, Holocaust.
Holy right. shit. Right. And like, and all of a sudden, it's a, you know, like, they, it's a really serious thing about genocide and intolerance. Yeah. And then just, I was immediately sucked in.
Yeah.
I like that point. That's how they opened up First Class also.
Yeah.
I thought
yeah.
that was great. I think
Days of Future Past is going to be pretty cool.
Yeah, it looks
I hope so.
Yeah. I hope so too. And Joan and I have been talking about how A Million Ways to Die in the Old West looks good.
I haven't seen
That's
any
Seth MacFarlane yeah. movie.
Really?
Live action. He's starring in it.
That's the thing. You
That was in unison.
Yeah. We've been talking about it a lot.
Holy live action. He stars in it.
Yeah,
you guys are excited about this one.
Well, no, it's like because it. You know, we're not necessarily like crazy huge fans of his, but like when you see the trailer, you're just kind of like, oh shit, it's a live action movie starring him in the flesh. He's not a bear. And
I just get excited about the idea that, I mean, just having worked in comedy for so long, and I still do love comedy, but you know, the longer you do it, the harder it is to sort of like shock you with or surprise you. And so I think when I see something and I'm like, oh, this feels like it, I get excited because I like enjoying comedy. I want to enjoy all comedy, but yeah. I don't always do that.
There's nothing like going to the movies with a comedian and watching them watch a comedy, and they never laugh. They just sit there.
But I'm not. I don't have the too cool for school attitude. Like I really like to. I really enjoy laughing at things. But it's just that fewer and fewer things in movies really make me laugh.
Yeah. So did you see Bad Grandpa?
I did not see Bad Grandpa.
Fucking lots
I laughed
of
my I laughed yeah. my ass off. In
it was
Bad Grandpa.
I wish I saw it when the theater was more crowded because it's like you know like the Jackass or Borat movies or anything like that.
Oh, you feel like you need other people to help you laugh?
Not really, but it's just a more communal fun experience.
Fuck Borat.
When I saw Borat like at the Vista like packed crowd on Friday night, people like. Like there's people just like stamping their feet because they couldn't laugh.
I saw a preview screening of it and I was not familiar with the Borat character yet. And so, I mean, I knew Ali G.
Mm-hmm.
And Ali G. I was actually not as big a fan of because the mechanism of it always sort of bothered me. Of like, oh, you're just fucking with people who don't know they're being fucked with.
Yeah.
And to me, he did an amazing job at it. But I just always I always kind of feel bad for the even though those people you shouldn't feel, you know like a lot of them you don't want to feel bad for
right, yeah.
but I still feel like but it's not a level playing field because they don't know that you're fucking with them so you're basically just like punching a baby you know but so I mean I thought Ali G was okay but when I saw the Borat movie at the previous screening it was the same kind of like you know people fucking doubled over
and it's still a really funny movie but same with like Bad Grandpa like I saw and there was like other people in the theater barely anybody else but. And like, you know, because there's that thing when everyone's laughing, you feel you can laugh more. But when you're like, you know, there's just me and my wife in the theater go like laughing real hard, you kind of get a little embarrassed. But after a while, we didn't care because it was so fucking good.
That whole thing at the strip club, the male strip club. saggy balls.
How do you have time to see movies right now?
Yeah, that's all I really watch. I don't necessarily watch that much TV. And I know a lot of people say that, but I'm into watching my iTunes. You know what I mean? I'll put that on, or me and my wife will go to the movies. There's not a lot on television that I'm like so geeked about. Like there was, I saw that when Breaking Bad was going off the air. You guys did this whole tribute to Breaking Bad and everything. I had never watched an episode of that show until the final episode.
Oh no way!
I still haven't watched an episode except for the final episode.
You just watched a lot. I've never heard anyone say that before.
Best ending of a show I've ever seen in my life, and I never watched a show.
Yeah. Imagine if you would watch the entire series.
That's a good testament.
Imagine if you would watch the entire series, like, you know, every episode was like that.
Yeah, I still think the show, you'd enjoy the show even knowing how it ends.
Even,
you know?
Well, obviously.
Yeah.
But it's a great ending, man. Such a great ending.
Yeah.
Except I don't think Aaron Paul should have got away. I thought he should have got killed too, but that's just me.
Oh, yeah, so everyone's dead.
Yeah.
I kind of like that Aaron Paul gets away, though, because I kind of he's just so brutally tortured for the previous, like, several months of his life.
Actually, and being dead would probably it'd be a good
That would
thing
be a relief.
Him. Yeah.
But that series is basically just like a bunch of movies.
Yeah.
It's like a really long – it's like that show is basically like a 70-hour movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's the other thing. Watching television is so difficult now because everything's a cliffhanger. You know what I mean? And every episode is, next week, wait, I can't wait. I'd rather watch Game of Thrones, the movie, instead of Game of Thrones, the television show. You know what I mean? I'd rather watch the full season than watch
hour. That's what's happening. That's where it's going. I mean, I get that way with comic books, too, where I like to read a collection, but when I'm reading week to week, I just you kind of lose a
you
little
forget
bit
what happened.
You forget
before.
What happened. You got to go back. Oh yeah, that's right. And then you're done with it in 7 minutes.
Yeah, I ignore the weeklies and just go for the graphic novel.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
you just got to wait so long for graphic novels. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, digging that True Detective TV show.
You know, Michelle Monaghan was on earlier, and she's on that show, and I haven't seen it yet. It's not on the. It's probably on HBO Go.
HBO Go. Yeah,
I'll watch it on the HBO Go.
Yeah, real good.
I guess I didn't realize it was an anthology series.
No. I guess it might be. I mean, that's like what they're calling it is a limited series.
What is it?
It's on HBO.
I know the show, but what do you mean by limited series?
It's like a longer mini series.
But
like
an anthology, an anthology is basically like Twilight Zone was an anthology series. So is it sort of like that?
Well, I think that's what they're going to do season to season.
Oh.
But this show is like one story.
This is one story.
Yeah, it's one crime.
So next it'll be two other, like a couple other actors, maybe not McConaughey. And,
exactly. Yeah. It's not going to be, I think it's going to be completely different. But what's neat about it is that like this, it's like, it's not a cop show, like it's not, it's more like, it has more in common with like Twin Peaks, because it's like, who killed this girl? And then it's just like, it's just...
Or The Killing.
Yeah.
But they didn't solve anything with The Killing, man. My wife watched that show for the whole year, thinking at the end they'd find out who the killer
but
was.
But it's jumping to Netflix. They're going to do the last season on Netflix.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
So they are. You're going to get some type of a resolution.
My wife will be happy to hear that.
Orange is the New Black. I can't wait for that to come back.
I'll watch it. I really wanted to. I could never decide if the show was a comedy or not a comedy.
But it's both. That's like what's great about the show. It's a really well rounded show. There's parts that are tense. There's parts that are sad. There's parts that are funny. That's what makes a good show. Much like in Scrubs, where it's like there was parts that are funny, parts that were kind of melancholy and sad, and parts that were just like interesting and smart. I think we should have more shows like that. It shouldn't be just one note all the time.
Agreed. Yeah. Totally. The Wonder Years is a perfect example of that.
Yes, exactly.
I used to love that show.
Yeah.
And the dad dies. God damn it.
They kill him off in the final episode.
Yeah.
Motherfuckers.
So nuts.
Fuckers. And he doesn't marry Winnie Cooper. What the fuck, yo? He was supposed to marry Winnie Cooper.
Well,
maybe she knew he would grow up to look like Daniel Stern.
Wow.
I love Daniel Stern. I think he's a great actor. I don't know what...
Blue Thunder was my shit. I used to love Blue Thunder, man. Officer Lyman Good, come on, man.
Blue Thunder.
Come on.
That was the Blue Thunder was the movie, right?
The movie, yes.
Yeah, Airwolf was the TV show.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were there, that was that period in the mid to late 80s where we were obsessed with helicopters.
Yeah.
It was trucks in the 70s. We were obsessed with
truckers.
Semi-trucks and truckers in the 70s. And in the 80s it became like motorcycles and helicopters.
Yeah. And talking cars.
Cars. I'm actually surprised that there wasn't like a fleet of kit style. Like that wasn't something they did on Knight Rider. It was like a talking helicopter, a talking motorcycle, a talking car.
I thought that, the talking helicopter sounds great. The talking plane. Yeah. Sounds dope.
It's there's some turbulence, but don't worry.
I'll get us out of this.
Yeah. Please take your seats.
Yeah.
Michael, please take your seats.
Michael, you've had enough to drink. Please sit down.
Shut up. I don't have to drive.
Yeah. When the kid all of a sudden turned into Christopher Walken.
Oh, yeah.
Michael. Oh, that was Alan Arkin. Sorry.
Michael. Can I talk? Can I call you Michael? Michael.
I'm a talking car. What do you want? Jesus Christ. Stop shitting in me, please.
When did you end up?
I'll drive you to a bathroom. What do you need?
When did you end up moving to L.A.?
I was 23, and I moved out here.
What was was it a gig that brought you out?
A young, fresh-faced Donald Faison heads west.
I was doing Clueless. They did the Clueless television show, and that was my ticket out.
That's right. You did Clueless. That's right.
Yeah. What do you
How
mean,
long did
that's
that show
right.
run?
Three
that's
seasons.
That's a great show.
I know it was a great show. I just
No, it wasn't. Listen,
I love you guys. I love that you said that. That's great. But no, it wasn't.
I don't know why I got into it. I loved the movie.
We got canceled on ABC. Then we got sent to UPN, where like five people watched the show. Dude,
it was just on. It was always just on when I got home from work. Wow. And it was just something that I watched.
I did a sitcom at UPN, I think, around the same time.
Which one?
It was called Guys Like Us.
With who?
With Bumper Robinson. Do you know Bumper?
Yes, I do know Bumper.
I played
that was the exact same time.
And I played roommates, and UPN had this
little kid.
Yeah, this little kid Maestro, who went on to he was on The Wire.
Yeah,
Yeah, he ended up being on The Wire. But yeah, this basically it was Two and a Half Men before Two and a Half Men, and Clueless, and
you know that was almost you and I, because what happened was that almost happened because what's his name from Head of the Class was the
Dan
writer.
Schneider.
Yeah. I auditioned for it, and they were like, "Dude, do you want to do it?" And I was like, "I would love to." And I had to, and they were like, "Clueless came back," and they were like, "Well, you would have to do a second position." And they were like, "Nah, we'll just go and find somebody."
Oh man, that's crazy! We almost did the show. We almost did 10 episodes of a show together. We almost ran a network into the ground together.
Hey, but what if?
But
that was
that
was such a strange year because UPN effectively decided to make a full network play. And so they said, we're going to have 5 nights a week of primetime programming, which was a very big, you know, like they were going to take on.
Yeah, not even Fox did that when they started.
Yeah, and so it was UPN and the WB, the Warner Brothers Network, were separate. The WWWWB. And so UPN had this very interesting mix of programming. There was also like an hour-long drama that was like an old wet, like a frontier type of a...
What show was that?
Were they the ones with the freaking hospital in space? Was that UPN?
Oh, I don't know. They're the ones. They were the ones that did The Secret Diary of Desmond Pfeiffer, where
right,
it was basically...
Where the first episode, they have a black man hanging from the tree.
Yeah. Well, here was here was the buy on that episode. This is like a show where you feel like...
Not that that's funny. I'm just saying.
But fact that someone did that...
That's
okay.
Let's put it on there.
That's gnarly. Opening shot?
It's him and the president riding on horses, and they walk by... They ride by some dude hanging in a tree. Oh. And they never really mention that the dude's hanging on the tree. They just ride by.
So here's it was an actor named Chi McBride. And he basically plays this... during Lincoln's presidency. It's a sitcom.
Yeah.
It takes place during Lincoln's presidency, and he is a very well-educated black northerner, and I can't remember how it comes to be, but he becomes like essentially a houseman for Lincoln.
Lincoln, yeah.
And so it's sort of this Greek comedy thing where he's really the smart one and Lincoln and Mary Todd are fucking insane.
Oh.
Like drunk, insane, like nymphomaniac style, just fucking
Jesus
nuts.
Christ.
And the whole show is told from the point of view of this guy who's writing his diary about like, you know, all the things that happened at his time at the White House. So it was this really strange idea for a show. I can't remember any of the episodes. I'd love to see one and see if it was.
I think where they went wrong was just having a hanged man.
I think that. You mean so right from the get go?
I think that's where the. I think a show like that could be funny. I think that could be funny, but not maybe, with.
Maybe not. There's not a lot of lynching-based comedy that really works.
Lynching never. It's never funny.
It's
funny.
Not a good. No. No. But the fact that a network executive was like, "Yeah, that's it."
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think.
Do you think anybody was just like, just put him in the tree?
Really?
So it's in the shot.
Because that was really bad.
Yeah.
When that happened, that was really... Yeah.
Is the scene about that?
What, you didn't
it's
know?
It's just in the background.
No, it's just in the background.
I didn't... Yeah. I don't know.
That's pretty bad.
Yeah, yeah.
What else did UPN... And then, what else did UPN
they
have?
Had Malcolm and Eddie.
Malcolm and Eddie, that's right.
That was their hit.
Oh, yeah,
Malcolm and Eddie
right,
was
yeah.
their big hit. That show ran for like 7 years.
Yeah. And then, did it run after UPN and the WB merged?
It may have been the only show to make the jump because... Essentially after...
Oh, and whatchamacallit made the jump too. Buffy.
Oh, Buffy.
It got moved to UPN actually first.
No, Buffy was on the WB first.
And then it got moved to UPN.
Oh, did it?
Yes.
Oh, shit, that's right. Maybe in the last season. Maybe for season...
Last two seasons
six and
or
seven,
something like that.
Before they merged. Yeah, because UPN launched all this primetime programming, and then within half a year, they had canceled almost all of it. Like, they just went, oh, nope, just kidding.
Yeah.
Sorry about the tree joke, you guys, and all of the other programming.
WB did well, though.
They did really well.
They're still around. They're now called the CW.
The CW.
Yeah.
Well, because that was the essentially the merging of those two networks. I don't know how... I wonder... Well, they have Arrow, and they have Supernatural.
Yeah.
Well, Supernatural's on every... I wake up in the morning, and TNT's on, and... Supernatural.
I can't remember a time.
I had no idea it went 10 years.
I can't remember a time in history when there was not the show Supernatural. Like, it feels like it's just always been...
I think the last one was... But the one before Supernatural was... Three Witches.
Charmed.
Alyssa Milano, right.
And Shannon Doherty, and then later Rose McGowan.
Yes.
And Holly
Marie Combe.
Oh, yeah, Holly Marie Combe. That's right. Oh, look at us with our supernatural television tribute. So do you like sci-fi fantasy stuff?
That's my favorite thing to
watch.
What's
your favorite movie?
Oh, Empire Strikes Back.
Easy. Empire, yep.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. It doesn't get better than that. You could try. And then Aliens.
Aliens is great.
Mm-hmm. It really is.
Yeah.
That one holds up. Again, great practical effects.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's funny when you get old and you realize that like Alien and Aliens are like completely different types of movies. Yeah.
Even Alien 3 and then 4. It's like...
Resurrection?
Yeah. It's
right?
Like who... there's no... I mean, other than Sigourney Weaver being in it, there's really no continuity at all.
Well, Alien 3, the guy who created... the cyborg, he showed up at the end, I think, right? What was the name of the?
Yeah, I guess so.
Bishop.
Yes,
yeah,
Bishop.
the guy
who creates Bishop.
Yeah, the original Bishop. He shows up. I thought that was a cool thing. And then it's also funny realizing like when you like the guy who directed Alien 3. No, it was Alien Resurrection. Was the guy who also did Amelie and Micmac and Delicatessen.
But didn't Joss write Resurrection?
Did he?
I think he did.
Oh wow!
Joss Whedon wrote Resurrection. Really.
He wrote one of the aliens. I'm gonna look it up right now.
Please say Aliens.
Okay, here we go.
It won't be
it
Aliens.
Wasn't Aliens. Did he do 3? Did Joss do 3?
And who directed 3? It was a guy too. It was like
David Fincher directed.
It was David Fincher.
Wow.
Yeah, and that's the thing about Alien Resurrection too. It's like it has like all the guys. Yeah, all the guys from like you know that guy's movies are all in that. Ronnie Perlman
and Rock.
Ronnie Perlman.
Yes.
Okay.
Ah, so I was right. It was Resurrection.
Ah, see.
Yeah, see. I know Resurrection when I hear it.
Who? What's her name? Was the star of that?
Winona Ryder.
Winona. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was the last time I saw Winona Ryder in anything.
No, Star Trek.
Oh, right.
And Girl Interrupted was after that too.
No.
Wasn't it?
Girl Interrupted was like 98, 99 maybe at the latest. Alien Resurrection. Oh, yeah, no, Jonah's right. Resurrection was 97.
And then, yeah. So there you go. You know what was on last night? Bram Stoker's Dracula. I forgot how fucking weird. That's like an art film.
I have crossed oceans.
He chops off his head
dime.
And goes right into the eating of the steak.
It's so fucking.
And that's where she's getting fucked on a tombstone by a wolf
yeah, yeah,
character.
Yeah.
And I know where the bastard's buried.
And he's got those crazy John Lennon glasses on.
Yeah, no, the little clip nose ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so odd. I remember being so confused. I was like, let's go see the new Dracula movie. And then you go, and then I was a kid. And it didn't make sense to me.
Man,
I didn't know what was happening.
Of those were total whiffs. Bram Stoker's Dracula, Wolf, Frankenstein with De Niro. Like,
oh, yeah.
Like all those
ones. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Right? Where they basically just took like a huge box office, basically the same thing film always does. Yeah. But then, there was no... And I'd say of those, I probably liked Wolf the best, but they were all still pretty bad.
But if you think about how hip Bram Stoker's Dracula was with like the casting, it's like like fucking Tom Waits is in it.
Yeah,
it's just like it's like Winona Ryder was still kind of like an indie darling.
Guts of it, the intention was good.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it just felt like a.
Been a part of the lore where Dracula is Judas? Has that always been?
No, I think that was just that lore. The Dracula lore is just like Vlad Tempest. Like it's just Vlad the Impaler.
Yeah.
You know? I think that was just a particular like, oh, this is our little take on that.
Yeah, then the Frankenstein, I remember not even, that was like I remember it was like 2.5 hours or something like that, right?
Yeah. And I like the end, finally, where they show him in the daytime and you can actually see the scars on his face
yeah.
his body and stuff. I thought that was cool, but
yeah.
I don't really remember that movie.
Yeah.
Was it Mary Shelley's Frankenstein, right?
Yeah, Mary Shelley's Frankenstein. Because it was coming off of Bram Stoker's
Dracula.
Yeah, and then just, of course,
And who Wolf. Knows is Wolf?
Yeah. Wolf. I remember that was like the scene where he's like, whiskey in the morning, huh? And the guy's like, whoa.
Oh, yeah, it's the... he gets bitten by the wolf, and then he's all of a sudden real good at business.
Yeah.
Give me he all got these... bit by the Wolf of Wall Street.
I'd like to thank Chris for setting me up for that.
Thank you. Well, it was really a team effort. I mean, you know.
That's great.
Yeah, and Spader is just classic Spader in that movie. Fucking slimy, greasy, you know. That's
and Pfeiffer's fine as hell.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
That's right.
And, you know, again, that was even sort of stretching the limitations of like, I mean, I guess I could see how she might end up with the wolf, but he's a contemporary of Christopher Plummer, but then he's going to fucking end up with Christopher Plummer's like much younger daughter.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. That was a little too much Hollywood relationship math there.
Like,
yeah, this guy who's 60 years old would totally end up with this woman who's 28. Of course, why not?
It happens all the time.
It happens all the time.
I mean, I would believe that Jack Nicholson might end up with Michelle Pfeiffer, but I don't believe that character would end up with that. Two totally different conversations to be had. So are you shooting the X's now, or are you...
No, we're wrapped, man. We
on TV land?
Yes, on TV land. We wrapped 2 weeks ago. I'm on vacation right now, or fun employment, because we're coming back for another season, which
is
great.
Nice, congratulations. Yeah.
It's always good when you leave a show knowing that we'll be back next year. And so we're really excited. We come back, I guess we start airing again in June or something like that. And it's great. I get to work with Wayne Knight every day. And, you know... One of the biggest sci-fi nerds on the planet is Wayne Knight. If you ever want to have a great conversation about anything comic book, anything sci-fi, hit up Wayne Knight.
Wow.
I'm telling you, he would be great on this podcast. Because he would...
That sounds good.
He would crush.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to bring it to you guys. He got eaten by those dinosaurs trying to get off that island.
Oh, Chris, that was a movie.
Yeah, I know. It was a movie of what happened to Wayne Knight.
No,
tried to sell the DNA and the shaving can.
Chris, he was just reenacting the real story of what happened to that
guy. I can pull it up right now on my phone and show it to you guys.
Yeah. Hold on. What? Are you trying to tell me Jurassic Park was real?
No, guys.
Yes.
It was a dramatic reenactment of what really happened on Jurassic Island.
Where is Jurassic Island?
It's near Isla Nublar.
Costa
Did I get
Rica.
That right?
Costa Rica, isn't it?
No, but like Isla Nublar is like the island...
That is the island.
Wow. I pulled that one out, huh?
Wow.
But that's near Costa Rica, right? It's near Costa Rica, isn't it?
Quick, get Jonah's pants off. There must be other treasures in his ass.
If he was it's able like to that thing that where it's like, you know, you almost get hit by a car, but you do a backflip out of it, and everyone's like, what the fuck just happened? How did you do it? I don't know.
That happens all the time. Yeah, Wayne Knight. I mean, Wayne Knight's been in just the best stuff.
Yeah, and he is a lover of science fiction. I mean, he loves it, and he's the biggest nerd I've ever met in my life. And so it's great to go to work with him and talk shit. You know what I mean? Like, we went and saw Man of Steel together, and we walked out, and, you know, he was like, let me think about it. We'll talk about it Monday.
That's what you're supposed to do.
We'll talk about it Monday.
Yeah.
That's really funny.
Yeah. I like it when people do that. I hate it when people walk out of a movie, all go, all right, here's the problem. Right. Here are the holes, and why did this happen?
Right.
Like, I always tell people, like, let it sit. Yeah. Let it simmer. It's like, that's
let's
great.
Let's think about it, and we'll talk about it Monday.
Yeah, because there are movies that, there are a ton of movies that I've walked out of going, no, and then 2 days later, I'm still thinking about the movie. And well, wait a minute. Maybe it wasn't, you know, all right.
Yeah.
Be like Wayne Knight.
Be like Wayne Knight.
Hey, be like Wayne Knight.
Maybe we'll get Wayne on
that. You guys should invite him on, I'm telling you.
We'll get him on.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
It'll be a great time.
Do you think you'd ever want to do At Midnight? Have you seen the At Midnight show that
we do? I'd love to be on At Midnight. I just don't know that much about Walking Dead.
No, no, that's Talking Dead.
Oh, I knew that.
Good.
Still works, you know?
Yeah. Listen, I've never actually seen an episode of Walking Dead.
Oh,
I don't
shit.
You didn't even record that, did you, Kim?
My wife was like, "Listen, you're gonna be on Nerdist tomorrow, so we need to watch Walking Dead tonight." And I was like, "I don't think it's the same thing."
No, I think so. At Midnight, it's a Comedy Central show, and it's basically like a game show about the internet.
Oh, cool!
And I think you'd be funny on it.
I know a little bit about the internet.
It's a silly fuck around half hour of television.
Do you show cats dancing?
We're not above it.
In fact, it's far above the quality of television.
What am I? I'm not made of wood, dude. Of course I love a good cat video dancing. I watched a fucking video today of a slow loris holding a tiny umbrella over its head.
Oh, shit, really?
Yes.
I didn't know they could hold, though.
Yes. I'm not going to fucking... I'm not a cat.
Prick me, do not bleed. If you show me a slow loris holding a parasol, do I not
jerk off? With my dead hand. Yes. Just sit on your hand. Slow loris videos? Yeah, I'm getting ready. Yeah. It's my version of a tailgate party. Yeah. It's going to happen. So you're going to take some time off, and then you're going back next year. Are you going to go anywhere? Are you going to take a vacation?
I don't know. I'm going to take this next couple of weeks off, and then I'm going to try and get a movie. Hopefully I get one. You know, I want to grind still. I still want to hustle. But, you know, it's great to know that I have a job. That's always good to know, you know.
Especially in this business. It is sort of a weird – you don't realize how much of the time – when you don't have a job, how much of the time you're kind of living up here, like just up in your chest, like, oh, yeah. I hope I just want to. So that you can actually just breathe and go, all right, I'm not going to die in the fall because, or at least not from starvation.
Yeah.
Who knows what will happen, but at least I won't die from starvation because I'll get to work.
Right. My kids will eat.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, because now you got that thing.
Yeah, I got that
fatherhood.
Going
you got fatherhood.
Yep.
That just keeps going.
And it keeps going.
You're
gonna
have
never stops.
You're
going
to have that forever.
Are you going to do
the rest of your life?
You're going to make another one? You're going to make another one soon to have siblings?
Yeah. Well, he has brothers and a sister. But yeah, my wife definitely wants more kids.
She wants more kids?
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah?
Yeah. You're going to have them for guys like us who are just like, I'll break a baby. I don't know what to do with them.
Listen, you know, the grass is always greener. It's great to have a kid. I love my boy. He's awesome. I don't see my wife anymore, though. You know what I mean? When it's bedtime, it's really bedtime now.
So we're just telling the kids bedtime, right? Isn't that really bad? Hello, honey? Honey?
Hey. And she's like, no, I'm tired.
Yeah, my buddy of mine had a kid. He's like, yeah, it's weird. They don't really tell you about like the weird resentment you start having towards like the kid because it's like taking up all my time, dude.
Yeah,
it's
like, dude. Hey, man, we gotta have a talk. You're kind of needy.
She belongs to me. But he's awesome. It's great to wake him up in the morning and see his face and how he's ready for the world and happy and stuff like that. That's really.
Do you feel any kind of like primal biological? Like you are my cells, and I see me in you, and you are going to carry on the phazon.
Yes, absolutely. Like you know, when I'm 60, he'll be 20, and I'll be living my youth again through him. You know what I mean?
Because you're going to have your personality transferred into his brand
absolutely.
And takeaways.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Well, what's messed up is everything that he had up to that point will be gone. Yeah. It'll be gone because the mind melt.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But before you do it, you just go, you getting laid, son? Right. Do pretty good with the ladies. I'll be right back.
Son, if you wouldn't mind just putting this salad bowl thing on your head.
Did you make this yourself?
It's going to work. All we need is lightning. If movies have taught us anything, just add lightning.
1.21 gigawatts.
Now we would say gigawatts.
Is that what happened?
Yeah, it was. They didn't the idea of the giga being a unit, a scientific unit that was so great that we didn't use it ever. So when it was actually a lot of people are surprised to find out that it's not JIGG, it's GI, it's a gigawatt.
It's a gigawatt.
So he said
Chris Lloyd. Said it wrong.
Well, I mean, at the time, I guess they said it the way that maybe people have said with the soft G.
So it's the GIF-JIF situation.
Well, I have gotten in so many Twitter arguments with people because on At Midnight I say GIF. And they say, but the guy who created the graphical interchange format says GIF. And I go, yes, Will Hite was a programmer. He was not a linguist. Hard G before the I.
Graphic, GIF.
And even saying this, it's going to start a war on the comment thread.
You have,
I say GIF. GIF is a peanut butter. I say GIF. GIF, gigawatts. And you might say giraffe, and I'd say, fuck you.
I didn't say anything,
it's
Chris.
It's a giraffe. It's a giraffe of coffee. anyway, I say GIF and gigawatt. I say gigawatt. I say gigawatt. Actually, I lied. I say gigawatt only when I'm referring to Back to the Future. If I were to encounter an actual
bolt of lightning,
yeah, I would say that had that was a couple gigawatts.
If I ever
right
come
there.
Across a bolt,
a bolt, a bolt of lightning. The only problem is you never know when or where it's going to strike.
What did you say?
We do now.
All right, that's it, man. That was the podcast.
You gotta still here.
You gotta come back.
I will come back. Anytime.
You gotta come back. We'll get you on At Midnight. Fuck around.
I'm gonna watch Walking Dead now. Just so I can be on Talking Dead.
You should. You should come on. It's a fun.
Is it scary?
It can be.
It's like moody, and there are moments of just like, oh fuck. But it's not like.
I have a question. How is it not old yet though? It's just zombies, isn't it?
Well, it's more about the people drama.
Okay.
Dealing with not only just...
Holocaust and...
Yeah, essentially. Yeah. Essentially, because, you know, people become worse than... The people become bigger threats than the zombies. I mean, like, there are these moments where there's sort of like a herd of zombies. And it's like, oh, we're trapped and we have to get out. And then there's, you know, a lot of really great... But the special effects are, you know, Nicotero's amazing. But it's just all of the... I watch the show and go, yeah, if there were an actual zombie apocalypse, there a lot of these elements would probably be the way it would be.
It's just like an interesting look at how people react when there's like always an impending sense of doom and death.
Well, not only that, but it's also an interesting psychological study in watching people's alignment change of just like watching happens when
from good to bad.
Well, people stop being polite
and start getting real.
Real world zombie apocalypse.
That's so.
You leave brain in fridge. Fridge, brain say zombie on label. You clearly see zombie on label. I'm sorry, man. Bro, zombie was fucking tripping.
Put his finger in the peanut butter.
You kick out house.
but it really is. It really is about like what defines good and evil in a survival situation. Like, is your allegiance to the group or to yourself or to your family? Like what makes things right and wrong, the sort of ethical and moral choices that you have to make. So I love any story where some external force like basically forces a person to change and make decisions, and then how does that affect them and who they are? So that's why I think that's one of the reasons.
And if it was on HBO, there'd probably be a ton of fucking too.
There'd be so much fucking.
I think about that sometimes because it was close to being on pay cable. And I was like, oh, they probably would have added in a bunch of sex, especially after seeing the old
Game of Thrones. But you know what, though? With Game of Thrones, they cut a lot of it out. Like, first season, there's way more than the third season.
Yeah. What happened to the zombies in the third season? Where'd they go?
I don't know.
What happened?
The White Walkers? I know. They tease you at the end of season two, and you're like, shit's
going
to get
down.
Crazy in season three. You're like, where are the... There's like one White Walker in season three.
Yeah.
And,
but they're coming. There's the impending doom. Like that's like when they say they're gonna. It's not about this war anymore.
It seems like it's gonna be like that for a while.
I heard that's not gonna happen.
Is Khaleesi ever gonna get her throne back? Yeah. Are those dragons ever gonna fight anything?
Are they ever gonna fucking get any bigger than they are now?
They get dragon strokes. It takes dragon strokes. No, it's not gonna get any bigger. Then they're gonna eat younger, cuter dragon with a bowl haircut.
Yeah. Hey everybody, I can break this. Breathe fire. Break this and play the guitar, Mr. D. I sing country and I also rap, Mrs. D. Daenerys.
See, I made the thanks, Kyle.
Yeah, you really did it.
I really
did it.
You did
it, didn't you?
I'm gonna spike my keys. Victor and dance. This is perhaps my greatest comedy triumph of all. Donald Faison, it's so good to see you. Chris, thank you so much for coming on. An absolute pleasure. I just want to hang out more. Like, we can hang out outside.
We can hang out whenever you want to hang out.
All right, good. Good.
Did you see Wish I Was Here yet?
No, how is it?
It's great.
All right, I'll see it.
What is it?
It's a movie that he helped get.
That's the Zach Braff movie that we did the.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And then you know, it was interesting to see a little bit of the backlash that he got for raising money on Kickstarter. People were like, that's not how you use Kickstarter.
But it is.
Well, it is, because yeah. I think people don't understand. You know, I think people go, why couldn't he just have the studio pay for the. And you go, well, because. Then they make all the decisions. Then you don't have any creative freedom. Mm-hmm. So it's basically raising money to create exactly the thing that you want, which feels. I think people assume like, oh, that guy's famous. He's probably why doesn't he just use $2 million dollars that he has to make a movie? Yeah, like, oh, this is really
doesn't
work like that. Sorry, please. But I'm excited to see it.
It's actually really good, man.
Good.
Good cast. Great scenes. Great scenery. Great.
It got picked up.
Yeah, it got bought by. I don't want to speak out of turn. I don't want to say anything wrong.
It got picked up by.
Not Focus, but.
Pope Francis. I don't know, just throw out a name.
Nice!
Someone picked it up. I read the story that it got picked up. So.
At Sundance. An hour, not an hour, but the day after the premiere.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah. I've never been to Sundance.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, I've been to Park City.
But never Sundance.
Never Sundance. Because I don't do anything in movies, so I just don't really know.
That's what I said. That's why I've never gone. I was like, well, I want to go if like I have something there. And then like a guy's like, no, if you're just a fan of movies, it's just
a place to go. Yeah,
because you can just see a ton of stuff.
But you can't though either. But you can't.
Oh, you can't.
It's really difficult.
It's just
because
you have to get in line crazy early and just stay in the theater.
Well, I feel like you got to be invited. Like the people that went and saw Zach's screening were people who were pretty much invited to it.
Oh, really? You know? So it's not fans, like it's festival and badges and.
No, not that I'm aware. Like, they're trying to sell their movies. So what they're doing is they're putting anybody who
it's like a guest list situation.
Yeah, anybody who can sell a movie. That's what it feels like.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
All you need is a blazer and some sunglasses and a...
Done and done.
Yeah. I'm a fancy Hollywood producer and I am here to buy me some movies. Yeah.
Your hair's not slick back. Get out of here.
Get out of here, kid.
But that's what it feels like. I could be wrong. I could be speaking out of turn, but that's what it feels like.
Yeah, because that's what Jordan Vogt Roberts says. Like, if you're just a fan of movies, you should just go and watch it.
It just feels very crowded to me, like finding a hotel room and
the guy that
trampled.
Goes to Comic-Con every year.
Yeah, but that's
but he's got the hookup at
I have the hookup for Comic-Con.
Yes.
I have the hookups for Comic-Con.
He gets there and they give him the badges.
Yeah, here's all the badges.
Here's everything you need. George Lucas is right behind that door. He's waiting for you.
Here's your invisibility cloak to get down the floor.
Right.
And mischief managed. I've got the Marauder's map. I can see where Lucas is walking at any time on the property. Cool.
Here's a question. All right, before we finish, please. Is Lucas still... George Lucas. I mean, of course, he's still George Lucas, but now that he's no longer behind the next Star Wars, will people leave him alone when they see him?
No, never, never, never.
You don't think so?
No, they won't leave him alone.
You don't think after Episode 7 comes out, you don't think J.J. will be the new Lucas?
Well, Lucas, like, you know, like in the Star Wars, they still refer to Lucas as the creator. Like, he's still the...
In the universe, right.
You know, and...
Yeah. You know what I just realized?
What?
This happened the other day. I was talking to my friend. I realized that George Lucas may be the most brilliant person in the world because it's almost as if when he was making the original Star Wars, he called, you know, Episode 4 A New Hope. I think at that point he knew how bad Episodes 1, 2, and 3 were going to be. That people were going to be devastated by Episode 3 and go, oh, fuck, wait, there's a new hope. And then that's the brilliance of him.
Do you remember coming out of Episode 1 being like, that was amazing, and then it sinking in and being like, that was shit?
I was like, I think I just saw a political drama.
Wow.
Well, A New Hope was not originally called A New Hope. It was just Star Wars.
Yeah, and it was also just kind of a joke, I was saying.
What do you mean?
Yeah, I thought it would be funny.
If you really want to talk about it and break it down.
No. I just...
I don't know why...
defending Episodes 1, 2, and 3?
Wait a minute.
now,
I don't
now.
Like your tune.
You're putting words in my mouth. You're putting...
We'll put
Wait,
this
you
onto
guys
the...
didn't like 1, 2, and 3?
We'll put this onto the floor.
Nah. I'm out of here. Yeah.
We'll put this onto the floor with the senators from all of the galaxies.
Yes, exactly. it's actually crazy if you meet somebody who's in their 20s, early 20s, they love those movies.
Yeah, yeah.
They love episode 1, 2, and 3. Yeah. And they think 4, 5, and 6 are boring and slow.
I'm doing
and,
a thing at Skywalker Ranch in about a week and a half with George.
Oh, George? George?
You're on a first name.
Oh, George Lucas. Sorry. Yeah. Yeah, I wasn't sure.
With GL. With Luke. I call him Luke.
Yeah.
Nice.
I call him Jill.
I call him Luke. Actually, here's it's. I'm not. There was a contest for charity, and
you won.
I won. I'm working a lot now, so I, you know, I have a lot of money to contribute. So I beat a bunch of fucking sad sacks. And yeah, so I'm. But I think it's literally going to be like we're going to get a, you know, we're going to tour the ranch, and then he'll just come out and be like, "Hello."
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
Yeah. Because I interviewed him in at a Star Wars convention about a year and a half ago, and I had an original Star Wars crew T-shirt on because my girlfriend's dad did the special effects for it, and so she gave me this original crew, like this really amazing, you know, pristine. I've only ever worn it like twice.
Oh, it was like a brand new shirt.
No.
Oh.
It was from the original. It was from then.
No. I meant like no one had worn it.
No one had worn it. Yeah.
Oh, crazy.
Because her dad just doesn't, you know.
Yeah.
Just,
why would he? Yeah.
He's like, and I worked on it.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not going to wear the shirt of the band I'm in.
Tons of shit like that. And so I wore the shirt thinking like, he's going to flip his shit when he sees this gem. And I was talking to him for a while and I was trying to show off, you know, like, trying to show off my chest. And then finally I couldn't take it anymore. I was like, this is an original Cruzy shirt. And he just goes, and then that's it. Just totally just deflated. I was like, oh.
Yeah. Because he's heard it all.
Everything.
He's seen it.
There's nothing. It. It's basically, his life is like Star Wars Groundhog Day. Like, yeah, that's his fucking life.
Oh, dude. I met him. So I went to, I guess it was episode 3, and they were doing it. MTV was doing it at the ranch. You know what I mean? How they would do the premieres at the ranch. And I walked up to him, and I mustered up all this courage. And I was like, I'm going to talk to him, and I'm going to ask him how he created Star Wars. That's what I'm going to do. And so I walk up to him, and I'm like, hey, man, I just have a question. How did you create all of this? And he gave me a freaking brilliant answer. He was like, well, you know, I sit down, and I wonder, what's up in the stars? And he goes into it. And as he's going into it, I go dumb and stop listening, and I'm just like, holy shit, George Lucas is actually answering the question. Holy shit, George Lucas is actually answering the question. And then finally I'm like, and he goes, okay. And I missed the whole answer.
Yeah. You look around, the party's done, everyone's gone, it's just the two of you, it's
sun's
nice.
Sun's rising.
I couldn't believe it. He actually answered it, and I blanked.
And that's when I discovered the cure for cancer.
Yeah, but instead...
Huh? What? Yeah. What was that?
I was literally nodding, uh-huh.
Oh, man.
That's great.
Dumbass.
All right.
Anyway.
We did it.
We did it.
Enjoy your burrito.
Oh. Thank you, guys.
Yeah,
thank
that was you. Fun.
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.
This episode of the Nerdist Podcast is brought to you by Carbonite.com. Carbonite is online backup made easy. Plans start at just $59.99 a year. Start your free trial today at Carbonite.com. Use the offer code Nerdist to get 2 bonus months with purchase.
1, 2, 3, 4. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.